Tonight, we're going to be studying once again from 1 Thessalonians as we were this morning. And so if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll begin there in a few minutes. Let me mention that we're going to be beginning. This kind of begins tonight. This is in some ways a separate lesson, but it's a good introduction to a series this fall on leadership in the church. And we'll be looking at elders and deacons and the role of each of those, and thinking about in the upcoming months appointing new leadership here at our congregation. And we certainly want to be in prayer about that, and we certainly want to study what the Bible says about that. And so we'll be doing those things. And tonight I wanted to talk about praying for our leaders. And this is not a lesson specifically focused on that process, but we certainly need to be praying as we go through that entire process. But the focus of tonight's lesson is praying for our leaders, whomever and whenever they are, at all times. And so we want to be thinking about praying for our leaders. I want to begin by thinking about the Apostle Paul, as we did this morning, and his mindset of joyfulness. If you look to 1 Thessalonians, Paul will describe how he had a close relationship with the church there in chapter 2. In verses 5 and following, Paul would say, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed, for God is a witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Paul says in verse 9, "Remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." Paul had a deep, rich relationship, a very family relationship with these people. In chapter 2, verse 20, Paul would say that you are our glory and joy. And then in chapter 5, verse 25, getting to our thoughts this evening, he says, "Brethren," or brothers, "pray for us." When you think about the New Testament leaders of the church, the Apostle Paul certainly jumps up there at one of the top on the list, right? I mean, right behind our Lord Jesus, we think about the Apostle Paul. We think about his tremendous faith. We think about all the endurance of persecution. We think about all the people he converted, all the churches he established. And now, he was just this bright, burning candle for the Lord that never seemed to be dampened. It always seemed to be bright and shining for the Lord. And what I want you to notice about Paul is that even though he had witnessed the Lord, even though he had received visions from the Lord, he was inspired of God. I mean, the great Apostle Paul, he says to these people that he treated and loved like family members who were very dear to him, he says, "Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us." In fact, Paul's going to say this in other places. He was a man of prayer himself. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul would talk about this aspect in verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, or of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Now, that's the Apostle Paul saying we despaired of life itself. He was at a very low point in his life, as I talked about this morning. "And indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." He thought that they were going to die. He thought that his life was about over. "But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must," now listen to this, "you must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. In Romans chapter 15, Paul refers once again to the brethren praying for him. And he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Pray to God on my behalf. When you think about this requesting prayer, sometimes I think that we maybe are nonchalant, or maybe we don't take it serious enough when people ask us to pray for them. I know that myself can be guilty of that. We can have so many requests, and we keep prayer requests list and all those things, and that also filters into maybe what we think about others when they say, I'm praying for you. I think, you know, I was thinking about this, and when I maybe struggle with this myself, or when it doesn't mean a lot to me, if someone tells me that, or if someone asks me to pray for them, I think it's when I'm not really believing strongly in prayer myself at that time. Think about that. There's a correlation between what you believe about your personal prayer and what you believe about the significance of other people praying for you. If you believe in prayer, if you're a person of prayer, you're a person of who believes strongly in the working of prayer, then when someone says to you, I'm praying for you, it means a lot. Paul was a man, you know, the church history refers to him as camel knees because it says his knees got so leathery because he was always on his knees. I think that's probably not a true thing, but it's like a tradition that developed kind of around that I've heard. And there went my water. Thankfully, it's about empty. Had some water and honey, so if I couldn't speak, and I'd knock it off. Anyways, that was a good point I was making. I just forgot what it was. The water was not for emphasis' sake. But I was talking about the significance of believing in prayer. Then it causes us to believe when others pray for us. And I think Paul was like that. He believed that in prayer, and so when other people prayed for him, it meant a lot. And so Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Now, I made all this talk, and here's the point. If Paul needed prayer, then your preacher needs prayer. If Paul needed prayer, then the elders need prayer. If Paul needed prayer, the deacons need prayer. And I could go through every member or every church position. If Paul needed prayer, our Bible class teachers need prayer. If Paul needed prayer, Ryan needs prayer. We can think about this. You think about it. Now, sometimes I think we want to think, well, you know, I'm not really at a time where I need prayer now, or things like that. But Paul was needing prayer. He was lifted up by prayer. Our leaders need to be lifted up by prayer and encouraged by prayer. And it should mean something for us to ask people to pray and for us to pray for others. And so as we think about that, we're wanting to emphasize that Paul needed the prayers of others. Why pray for leaders? Why pray for leaders? These points I got from Dr. David Powell at a lecture he did. And I think there's six or seven of them, and I want to just, I don't mean for you to memorize or remember all these, but I think the number of them helps add to the overall emphasis of why we should pray for leaders. Number one, for 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It pleases God. Now, this context that was read by Brad says, first of all, that I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceable and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. It's a requirement by God for us to pray for leaders. Now, in this context, Paul is mentioning kings and all who are in high places. We need to pray for our political leaders. Now, my lesson tonight is not focused on that. I'm thinking about spiritual leaders. But let me say from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we have a responsibility, and it pleases God for us to pray for our political leaders, for our government authorities, for our local judges and magistrates and our police officers and firemen and people who are in positions such as that. But also, we should pray for our president, our vice president, and Congress. And we should also be thinking about the upcoming elections and praying for them. We need to pray. And you say, well, these people may be godless people in a lot of ways. It's our job to pray. It's our job to pray. Now, notice, coming back to spiritual leaders, it pleases God when we pray for spiritual leaders. When we lift them up in prayer, it's going to cause God to work and be effective. Number two, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It remembers them. You know, it's significant when people, we've had several here this morning and maybe some here tonight, that grew up here or have had a connection with the church and they're back in seeing family. It means something to them when you remember them. And you come up and you talk about the past and you remember their name or like to see their family growing and change. It means something when we're remembered. God says, remember your leaders. I don't know of a better way to remember in a spiritual way our leaders than to pray for them. And I think this term remember certainly would involve prayer. It means be thoughtful of them. Be thinking about the burden they have upon them. Be thinking about the task that is set before them. Remember your leaders. Remember them. The writer says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and consider the outcome of their way of life. Now, in this context, the writer is also thinking maybe about the past. And certainly we have reason to be thankful for leaders of the past. Remembering past leaders. And in this context, those who have preached and taught the Word of God to us. Remembering the difference they made in our life. And the significance of remembrance, like we have on the Lord's Supper table, do this remembrance of me. The significance of remembering, just like when we think about on Veterans Day or other holidays, remembering those who gave their lives for our freedoms or those who fought, the significance is you remember the past so it affects the present. You remember the past leaders who spoke to you the Word of God so that you can imitate their faith. You see, we remember our leaders. I know that our leaders here certainly want and desire to be remembered in prayer and remembered for their work. And then Hebrews 13, 17 through 18. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Paul, or the writer, is talking about obeying your leaders and submitting to them. And he's talking about the job they have of keeping watch over your souls. Now, these work that the eldership has, of shepherding, and Joseph did a good job. I don't know if he read the title of the sermon, or I think he does that most of the time he prays. But he prayed for our leaders. He prayed that shepherds would be blessed in their work of shepherding, and deacons and the ministers and things. But the word encourage means to put heart in. That's going to put heart in them. That's going to encourage them. That's going to build them up when we pray for them. Even if they know it or not, even if it's public or not, it's going to make a difference and encourage them in their work. Maybe there would be less burnout in the ministry. They say that we are we're losing preachers. I don't know how true that is, and all the statistics, you read different ones, that even with the amount of preachers that are coming out of schools and things, that we have a shortage of preachers. And I think one of the reasons for that, and a lot of guys, especially, I saw something in the past week or so, I can't remember the exact statistic, but I think the average amount of time that those who are trained to do youth ministry stay in youth ministry is like 5 years. And they leave and often go into secular work and things. A lot of guys get trained to be preachers and then do not do that for very long. And same with the eldership, same with deacons or other leaders, or Bible class teachers. You know, we always have a shortage of Bible class teachers. Maybe one of the reasons is because we're not praying enough for them and that encouraging them. Paul said he was in 2 Corinthians passage chapter 1 there that we read. Paul says he thought he had the sentence of death upon him. He said, I thought I was about to die, and the only thing that held me up was your prayers. Paul says, I was about burned out, if we want to put it in that terms. I was struggling. But he said, your prayers held me up. Pray for leaders. And then from Exodus 17, back in 8, verse 16, it talks about Moses, and that's the battle where he had to have his hands held up. And you remember Joshua was one of the two men that helped hold up his hands. And there's a lesson there, of course, that we need to have our hands held up oftentimes, that leaders cannot do it on their own, that they have to have other people to help them out. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 is the whole armor of God, but I really meant to put verses 10 through 20 as well after looking at this again. Because in verse 18, after talking in verses 10 and following about the fighting against the spiritual forces and the warfare that the leaders are making against God and taking on the whole armor of God so that the Christians can stand, in verses 10 through 17, in verse 18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So praying all the time and praying for all the saints, not just for leaders, but praying for all the Christians, praying for all the body of Christ. And also, notice what Paul says, pray for all the saints and also for me. Pray for me. That the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. We're thinking about everyone win one. Who's your one? We're talking about trying to reach out and invite people and be evangelistic. We need to be praying about that. Praying about being bold. The early church was a prayerful church. You read through the book of Acts, they're always praying about these things. Paul says, pray for me. That's going to hold up the hands of the leaders. When they're fighting this spiritual warfare, just like Moses who was fighting a physical warfare, we need to rally around our elders and around our deacons and around our ministers, and we need to hold up their hands, not figuratively, or not literally, but figuratively in prayer, holding them up as they go about their work. Titus 1 talks about their work of refuting false doctrine and how they need to be held up in that. And then, fifth, it seeks the will of God. Back to Hebrews chapter 13, we've read verse 7 about remember them, verse 17 about let them do this with joy, and then verse 24 says this, greet all your leaders and all the saints, those who come from Italy, send you greetings. When we pray, all three of these verses are talking about the responsibility of Christians to obey, to submit, to remember, to greet. What's the idea? The idea is, this is the will of God that these leaders are over the church, and your job is to follow them, and their job is to watch out for your soul. So when we pray, it's seeking the will of God. I think about Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching the model prayer. And he talks about praying in the will of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The church, the leaders have the responsibility of doing God's will. But you know, a lot of their challenges come with decisions they have to make or ministries they have to lead. How do they do that? What's going to be best, the best decision for doing God's will? What's going to promote the work of the Lord the most? They have a sincere heart. They need prayer. That they can do the will of God. That God's will be done. You know, a lot of things too, speaking as a leader in the church, a preacher, we want to do the Lord's will. But lots of times we struggle to know exactly what that means and how to do that and how best to do that, and often feel like you don't do it well. And so we need people praying that will help us so that when we do make decisions, that we make those feeling like it has the support of prayer of others. Not just our own prayer, but the prayer of others. And then this comes from verse 17, Hebrews 13:17. It makes their job easier. I think that's what this verse kind of says in common vernacular. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that will be of no advantage of you. If we pray, it's going to help them do their jobs with joy and not with bitterness and not with resentfulness. And then finally, I believe it's effective. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. James chapter 4, James says in verse number 2, you desire and do not have, you murder, you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight, you quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. In chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of the righteous person has great power in its working. The effective prayer of a righteous person avails much, as we know the old King James says. In other words, if you're praying for leaders, it's going to make a difference. It's going to be a difference maker. Why pray for leaders? It pleases God. We need to pray for those in high offices. We need to remember them. We need to encourage them. It holds up their hands as they deal with the battles. It seeks the will of God. It makes their job easier, and it is effective. I think that most of you have probably heard this before, but I think it's a good reminder of the five fingers of prayer, the five finger exercise. It's been around a long time, but I think it's good to teach our kids, but I think it's good for all of us to use this little memory tool. And if you think about it, your thumb is nearest to you, so pray for those who are closest to you. Pray for those who are closest to you. That is your family. Pray for those who are closest to you, your kids, your wife, your husband, your parents. And then you move to the pointing finger. Pray for those who point others in the way of God. Pray for those who are teachers, who instruct and who heal, who are guiding people, our missionaries, our preachers, the Bible teachers. And then the tallest finger, your middle finger, pray for our leaders. You can remember that because your middle finger is your tallest, your highest finger, and they are above us. They guide us, and they have authority over us. So we need to pray for our leaders, both secular and religious leaders. Pray for our leaders. And then the ring finger, my wife knows this because she was taught that you use that to put on makeup around your face, right? Did you know that? Your ring finger is your weakest finger. It's your weakest finger. And so pray for those who are weak. Pray for those who are weak. The sick, the elderly, the infirm, the abused, as we talked about a few weeks ago, the children. Pray for those. And then number 5, your fifth finger, your little finger, the little pinky finger, as we say, is your smallest finger. And it should be a good reminder to pray for yourself.
You pray for the others first, but don't neglect yourself. I mean, you're the smallest finger. You're the last finger. Pray for the others first. Your smallest finger, pray for yourself.
The five fingers of prayer. Notice, I think that we can all do better with our prayer. And let me say, as I begun, that we want to pray for our leaders. And let me invite you especially, and I'm going to try to make a point to do so in my personal prayer life. And let me encourage our men who lead us in public prayer to pray for our leaders as we go through this process over the next few months between now and beginning of the year. And pray for our church. But pray for us all the time. Not just as we go through a process or not when we go through a building campaign, but pray for us all the time. Pray for me. Pray for Ryan. Pray for our wives and our kids. And pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. Let's make a special effort to pray for our leaders. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, you can put Christ on in baptism and become a child of God. If you want to rededicate your life, please come as together we stand and sing.